What a delight it is to be here, as is always the case. And I want to say that we are delighted, I am especially delighted that you have chosen to be with us this evening. Good to see so many friends and so many family. I do want to say that it's good to see my brother Jeremy and my uncle Gene and my grandfather Roy and my dad and even my cousin Mark made it. So delighted that they are all here. A lot of information dealt with in this sermon. I want to begin by asking this question, and it's a very simple question, but yet it's going to cause a great deal of thought. What one sin attacks the family more than any other sin on the face of the earth? What one sin attacks the family of God more than any other sin that we read of in Scripture? I suppose that we would look from the standpoint of the sin that challenges the church more than any other. Probably we would say, for the most part, that it's probably forsaking the assembly. But friends, I want to go on record by saying that forsaking the assembly is not a problem. It is a symptom of a greater problem. It is the symptom of a heart problem. A heart that reflects and manifests this sin. What one sin causes us and prevents us from doing the things that God has commanded us to do? What one sin prevents us from going into all the world? I'll tell you this much, that if we want to save the world, we better come out of the world. If we have any hope whatsoever of saving a lost and dying world, friends, you and I have got to come out of the world. And I'll tell you this also, that this sin of which we're going to speak tonight is going to be reflected come November. Because many people come November, regardless of what election it may be, are going to vote not based upon precept and principle. They're going to base their vote on profit. And in doing so, they're going to reflect an attitude of this sin. And friend, the sin that attacks the family, the sin that attacks the family of God, the sin that attacks the faithfulness and the friendship with God more than any other sin is the sin of materialism. And as we engage our thoughts, as we engage our minds this evening, I want us to do so with an examination of Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. We're going to spend a great deal of time in this text. And as we engage our thoughts, we're going to notice some things. Not just with this passage of Scripture, but we're going to notice these things. We're going to notice first and foremost the condition of materialism. We're going to notice the cause of materialism. We're going to go so far as to notice the caution that Jesus gives against having a materialistic mind, a materialistic heart. We're going to look at the condemnation that is portrayed for us, the condemnation that is given to this sin that attacks the family so more than any other sin. We're also going to look at the cure of this sin. And then we're going to conclude our thoughts with a challenging examination. But in the first place, what is this condition of materialism? Let's go on record first and foremost that materialism is not determined by any set amount of money. But rather, materialism as defined is this. It is a preoccupation for the material things rather than for the spiritual things. In other words, it is having a greater and higher regard for the material things of life, the physical things of life, than for the spiritual things. From the very basic definition of this term, you can see why this sin attacks the family as it does. Face it, let's understand the fact of the matter. As Brother Cosby was noting for us moments ago, people who engage in homosexuality, people who engage in adultery, people who engage in sin are acting in contrary to the will of God. And because of that, they're not thinking about the spiritual things, but they're having a higher regard for the material and physical things of life. But another definition can be noted this way. As it relates to the definition, it can be stated that in essence, it is setting other objects before God and bowing down to worship them. Friends, this materialistic mind has been demonstrated, and I want us to notice together Mark chapter 10, verses 17 through 27. You have the rich man. And I love Mark's account of this because he tells us in verse 17, he notes, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked, 'Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?'" I want you to notice that on the surface of this, this rich man had a great interest. He had a great interest in spiritual things. He had a great interest in his soul. He had a great interest in his Savior. Why? Because he, as the text notes, he came running to Jesus. Came and running to him, kneeled down, showed somewhat of a worship posture. He had an interest in his salvation. But I want you to notice as we come to the conclusion of this text, something, and we need to preach this. A number of door knocking occasions have I had the opportunity to do. And one answer that is oftentimes given more than any other is a statement, "I'm not interested." When you come to the conclusion of this text, you're going to see that this rich man is no longer interested. On the surface, he has an interest in spiritual things, but as he goes through and as he concludes and as he regards what he has to give up that he may have eternal life, he loses the interest. He asks of Jesus, "What good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" And Jesus said, "Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and thy mother." And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Now someone comes along and says, "Well, preacher, am I having to do with this?" Understand that Jesus saw the very heart of this man. Jesus is going to find out what it is that Jesus already knew, but he's going to help this individual see what it's going to keep. What's going to cause him from having eternal life? And then notice Jesus gets to the very heart. Then Jesus beholding him loved him. Wonderful phrase here. Appreciate so much Brother Cosby's statement and thoughts. Regarding the homosexuals, we don't hate them. Jesus didn't hate this individual. He loved him. And friends, it takes a far more greater amount of love to tell someone what the truth is and to tell somebody what the sin that is keeping them from heaven takes a whole lot more love and is a greater reflection of love to tell them than to just allow them to go on doing what they do. Notice what Jesus says. "One thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven. And come, take up thy cross, the cross, and follow me." Jesus is getting to the very heart of the matter. And notice what the response of this man is. "And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions." What was the problem? It wasn't that Jesus was being far too strict. It was that this man had demonstrated a mentality, had demonstrated a heart that was materialistic. So when we consider the condition of materialism, the condition as defined, it is defined by the thought that it's a preoccupation, it's a higher regard for the material things, the physical things of life, than for the spiritual things. Notice what transpired here. In a matter of moments, he goes from having a great interest to having no interest at all, having no interest in his soul. And friends, I'll tell you this, when you and I begin to regard material things and physical things more than the spiritual things, we cannot say with all good conscience and in all honesty that we have a value and an interest in our soul. Something else he did not have. He ceased to have an interest in his Savior. Friends, when people willfully will forsake the assembly, it shows not just to their faithful brethren, but more importantly, it shows to God that they're not interested in their Savior. The Savior who purchased the church with His own blood, Acts 20:28. And we're not talking about individuals who miss because of sickness or because of the reasons that we often understand. We're talking about individuals who say, you know what, I just don't need to go today. They have no interest in their soul. They have no interest in their Savior. And because he went away sorrowful, as Matthew's account tells us, he went away sorrowful for he had great possessions. Because he regarded the material things more than the spiritual things, he lost interest. He no longer had an interest in his salvation. Now, friends, let's be honest for a moment. I'm convinced that there are people in the world that are interested in what to do to be saved. But when you and I become materialistic minded, the problem's not that they don't have an interest. The problem is that we don't have an interest. And can you imagine standing before the Almighty God on the day of judgment, admitting that, God, I was too busy to save the lost? Now, folks, when man becomes materialistic minded, it attacks his family because, number one, the husband is the spiritual leader of the home. And when that husband becomes so materialistic minded that he begins to regard the material things rather than the spiritual things, guess what's going to be destroyed? And here's the third point on this. Materialism is destructive. Three things that materialism will ultimately destroy. Ultimately, it's going to destroy the very soul of man. But three things that in this life it's going to destroy. Number one, it will destroy your interest in spiritual things. It will destroy, secondly, and the rich man here in Mark chapter 10 is a good example of that. Secondly, it will destroy our influence for spiritual good. Again, how in the world can you and I convert a lost and dying world if you and I are of the world? And you and I cannot have the influence that God would want us to have, that God commands us to have, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. We cannot have that influence if we have engaged our minds and if our thoughts and our whole way of life is materialistic. But also, it will destroy your identity as a faithful child of God. We read of Demas in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10. And Paul would write that he loved this present world. He loved the world in essence more than he loved the spiritual things. He got caught up in materialism. Go back to Joshua chapter 7 and you read of an individual named Achan. And notice the influence notice the bad influence that takes place because of Achan having a higher regard for the material things than for the spiritual things. What about Ananias and Sapphira? Acts chapter 5 verses 1 through 11. Here is a good example of what happened, and this is how it attacks the family of God. Because they loved the material things more then they love the spiritual things. Which also leads to this thought. The condition of materialism is also divisive. You don't think so? Watch a parent, a mother or father who gets caught up in adultery because they have a higher regard for the physical things than for marriage as God has defined it, as God has commanded. And when they engage in adultery, it divides the family. It divides the church also, and Dan Winkler would note this, I would rather have been the soldier that pierced the side of my Savior than to be the individual that splinters His body. And friends, what happens when we become engaged in materialism is it will ultimately divide the body. When our intent in Bible study is to win an argument rather than winning a soul, we're in trouble. Friends, we are never going to save a lost and dying world if we are more concerned about winning an argument than winning that soul. Not only will it divide the family, it will also divide the family of God. I'm convinced that a lot of times the reason why congregations split is because of this very sin. And if we would start focusing less on what I want and on what this individual wants and focus more on what God wants, we would not have the division that we have. Friends, we're about to recall 100 years of division. What brought it about? Individuals desiring to have instrumental music. Desiring to have not what God commanded, but desiring to have what they wanted. And friends, it happens so often. I'll tell you this also. Division comes also, and we cannot fulfill God's command when we have a greater regard for the church building than for the body. And so elders and leaders of congregations, here's a warning to us. Let's begin to have a higher regard for the body than for the building. I'm not saying let's neglect the building. Sometimes we neglect the body because we spent so much time taking care of the building. Yes, materialism is divisive. But what causes this sin? What causes people to be materialistic? First and foremost, what causes individuals to be materialistic is this thing called status. Give you a layman's term definition. Status is buying things I don't need with money I don't have to impress people I don't like. That is status. Status is oftentimes going to cause me to rob God. Know of any individuals who are about to go on a vacation during the summer and to save a little extra money, what do? Well, I can give less to God. Actually, talking about the contribution on a Sunday morning Bible class, and asked the individual about, he had made mention of the fact that, you know, he had just finished his work, he had just retired, so he's going to be making less. And he said, I'm probably going to have to give less. And so my response was, are you going to drive less of a car? He said, oh no, I can't do that. A materialistic mind. He was more concerned about maintaining his status than in maintaining his faithfulness. Materialism is also caused by a thing called self-exaltation. If you read Luke chapter 12, and I was noticing it earlier this afternoon, how many times does this man, this rich fool, rich farmer, in Luke chapter 12, how many times does he use a personal pronoun, either I or my? I counted that he uses the word I 6 times. He uses this personal pronoun. Why? Because he's exalting himself. I say to myself, what am I going to do? I'm going to build bigger barns. I'm going to do this, this, and this. He exalted himself. But another thing that will cause materialism is self-deception. Friends, I want to warn you on something. When it comes to contributing as God hath prospered us, 1 Corinthians 16, 1 and 2, don't think that you can hide what you're giving. God knows if we're giving as we've prospered. Even though I may fool the brethren, and the brethren may not know what I give, and I'm not sure that we don't need to understand that elders have every right and every responsibility to understand what members are giving. Why? Because the elders have to give an account for the soul of every member, Hebrews 13:17. And if we have individuals who are not giving as they've prospered because they're untaught, shame on the elders. Shame on the Bible class teachers. Shame on preachers. But if it is the case that we have individuals not giving as they've prospered because they've been taught how to give but just refuse to give, friends, we're dealing with individuals who are caught up in materialism, and they're going to lose their very soul because of it. Sometimes we deceive ourselves into thinking, well, you know, Roger's not going to know what I give. But guess what? God knows. And friends, what that does, how that attacks the family is this way. Fathers, mothers, understand that your children are watching how you worship. And if they see that giving is not very important to you, it's not going to be important to them. When they see that you have no interest in spiritual things, when they see that you have a greater interest in the material things of life than in the spiritual things, are we wondering any why we lose our young people? I'm convinced that a lot of times we lose our young people because we already lost mom and dad. And fathers, understand that God has challenged you. God has commanded you to bring up your children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. What does that mean? It means show them how to worship, among other things. But then, it is also caused by self-preservation. Friends, if we would give more by faith and less by fear, there's no telling what the church could do. Look at the things of which you and I concern ourselves, or at least materialistic individuals. I'm not going to have food to eat. I'm not going to have this, this, and this. Now, there's a difference between God providing for me what I need and God providing for me what I want. He commanded me to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. But He also, in that same context, would say to us, Matthew chapter 6, 19 through 21, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. For where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Friends, if my heart is on material things, it's going to be reflected. But if my heart is on spiritual things, that will be reflected also. Well, what about the caution that God gives to us? Notice several cautions that He gives. We noticed one in Matthew chapter 6, but notice with me Luke chapter 12 and verse 15. And He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. Again, He gets to the very heart of one of the causes of materialism. One of those causes, as we noted, was status. A lot of times the things we possess not because we need them, not because we could afford them, but because we wanted to impress people we, quite frankly, did not like. But here's this warning, that my life does not consist in the abundance of things which I possess. I want to ask you a question. What is the purpose of life? You know, if you were to ask an atheist what that purpose of life was, an atheist is going to tell you just to live and die. You ask a materialistic-minded individual what the purpose of life is, he's going to say to have all that I can have, no matter how I can get it, but to have all that I can have. Now, understand, I'm not against possessing things. But materialism is not about possessing things. It's about things possessing you. Materialism is about the possessor being possessed by the possessions. I worked a long time to try to make that come out right. Friends, materialism is a huge problem and is destructive. It will destroy your very soul. And because it will do such, God has warned us to beware of covetousness. Notice with me Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5, because this is somewhat interesting in where the Bible, where Paul places the sin of covetousness. Notice what he says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanliness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is adultery. Which is idolatry. So here's this warning to beware of these things. Why? Because these very things will condemn your soul. And for that, God gives us a caution. He cautioned us in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15. We're cautioned to beware of false prophets. But friends, you look around the religious world today and you wonder, are there any false prophets according to the religious world? But you also look around that same world and you wonder whether or not covetousness is still a sin. To the world says no. I don't have to do this. I don't have to do that. I don't have to do this or I don't have to do that. I don't have to put God first in all things. Isn't it something that not only do liberal politicians want to rewrite history, but liberal theologians want to rewrite the Bible? And they do it because of materialism. Because they want what they want, no matter at what cost. Friends, we need to understand there is a condemnation to all this. Regardless of whether the world tells us that there is no condemnation, regardless of the sin, the Bible is still true that there is condemnation in this. Ron noted that when you think about it, much of the world's saying that, you know, there's nothing wrong with homosexuality. God's not going to condemn me for it. Nothing wrong with abortion. God's not going to condemn us for that. But friends, there is condemnation when it comes to covetousness. Notice with me what John would write, 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and following. Starting in 1 John chapter 2, John writes this. And not only does this serve as a condemnation, but it also serves for us as how we can cure this thing called materialism. John writes this. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, or lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of the Father of God abideth forever. Materialism is not of God. Materialism is of the world. And friends, it attacks the very heart of man. It attacks the very soul of man. It attacks the very faithfulness of man. It attacks the family. But more importantly, it attacks the family of God. And because it attacks those things, it stands in condemnation. Notice with me Revelation chapter 21. John gives us somewhat of a scene of the judgment. Verses 1 through 4. Gives us somewhat comfort in Revelation 21, 1 through 4. Then he comes to chapter 21 and verse 8 and gives kind of a list of who's who in hell. And he says, but the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters. Now friends, we go back to Colossians chapter 3 and verse 5 and we see that covetousness is idolatry. For lack of a better term, it is setting another object or setting other objects before God. And for a long time, I've thought of materialism from the standpoint of it's just having this love for money. But it goes far more than that. It's putting money, possessions, pleasure, it's putting professions before the Almighty God. And to do so is to make those things my God. To make those things the one that I'm going to serve. But Jesus would warn of such in Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Continuing in that context from chapter 6, verses 19 through 21, Jesus is going to give us a warning, going to give us a caution. when he says something of great interest to us, Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. Jesus notes this for us. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. Cannot do it. And so, friend, if we are to serve God, if we are going to love God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, with all our strength, we cannot be materialistic minded. And if we're going to expect our families to do the same, what they need to see from a father and mother is an example of parents who love the Lord God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. What they need to see is parents who Moses noted in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 through 11, that they're going to teach diligently their children to do the same. But notice that there is a cure for this sin called materialism. And friends, if we're given to materialism, that cure is found within Scripture. And friends, if we are given to materialism, you and I need to come out of it. Because it will condemn our soul, and as we noted earlier, it will destroy our interest in spiritual things. It will destroy our influence for spiritual good. It will destroy our very soul. And friends, how I would hate stand before God on judgment and there be one standing behind me who is condemned to eternal hell to point at me and say, the reason I am here is because of you. But oh, how I would love for an individual to stand behind me at judgment, to hear those words, enter in thou good and faithful servant, and hear them say, preacher, I'm here because of you. What is your influence? Is it one for spiritual good or is it one for spiritual evil? Friends, the cure to this is this. That we love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our might, and with all our strength. That my love for God encompasses my whole being. It's not just something that I do on a Sunday morning, but it's something that is reflected in my very life. That when people see me, when they see us, they can say, even as was said of Peter and John, Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, they had been with Jesus. May that be what people see in us. Because I'll tell you this, when people are given to materialism, they don't see Jesus. They see people who are interested in self rather than seeing people who were going to say, even as Jesus would say, not my will, Father, but thine. And as we conclude, I want to conclude with this, a challenging and concluding examination. Friend, self-examination is the hardest thing, but it is one of the most valuable things. You look at 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Friends, let's examine ourselves to see whether or not we are faithful. Three questions I want to ask. And let's all make these personal. The way this question is going to be asked, I'm going to be asking this of myself, but ask this question of yourself. Does my quest for material things cause me to rob God? Does it cause me to rob God of time that is necessary to be with God? In other words, do I become so interested in material things that come Sunday night, you know what? I've got this, this, and this to do. I'm just not going to go to worship. Does it cause me to rob God of my treasure? You know what, Ron? I'm going on vacation. And I need some extra money for this vacation. So, you know, there's nothing wrong with me just maybe withholding some from God because, you know, I've got this vacation. Thomas, I'm buying me a new car. I'm going to have to pay for that new car. And I'll just take a little bit less from God. God won't mind. Friends, does my quest for material things, does my quest for status, does my quest for material things cause me to rob God either of my time or of my treasure? Friends, don't be blind to something. You know, most people in the world do not need 2 and 3 jobs. Most people in the world have 2 and 3 jobs, not because they need them, but because of their quest for material things. And sometimes those 2 and 3 jobs cause me to have to take and work when I could be at worship. Having those 2 and 3 jobs causes me not to be able to go evangelize a lost and dying world. Second question, does my quest for material things cause me to neglect spiritual things? Does my quest for material things keep me from growing in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Does it keep me from giving to God as He has prospered me? 1 Corinthians 16:1-2. Does it keep me from going into a lost and dying world to save a lost and dying world? And third question, does my quest for material things cause me to neglect my family? Does it cause me to neglect them financially? Friends, when you read Matthew chapter 19 and you see marriage, what you see is that man is to leave mother and father financially, spiritually, emotionally, physically. But does my quest for material things cause me to neglect my family financially, spiritually, emotionally, and others? I want to close with this thought. Little Johnny brought his dad his piggy bank one day. And he says, "Daddy, I've got $10 in my piggy bank. How much time will that buy me?" Because of his quest for material things, little Johnny's daddy was neglecting him. And fathers, you are to provoke your children, not to provoke your children to wrath, but to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And if you're materialistic minded, you're just part of the problem that is attacking the family. Friends, we noted something earlier. That being materialistic is destructive to the family, but do you realize it's destructive to your very soul? I want to close by extending this invitation, and I thought about how do you conclude and how do you tie this all together, and I thought about this. A couple of years ago, preaching a gospel meeting at Prague. A good friend of mine that was preaching at that time, Palmer Smith, right before the sermon says, "Jamie, I need to say something to you." He said, "There is a man sitting on the very back pew, knows what to do to become a Christian, but he cannot do it." He said, "This is why." He said, "The man makes $300 a week working as a bouncer at a bar. And he cannot give that up because if he gives that up, he's going to lose money." That night, the sermon happened to be, "Where Will You Spend Eternity?" We tied it all together by looking at Revelation 21 and verse 8, "Who's who in hell?" And we spent a great deal of time on that phrase called idolatry. Friends, what is it that stands in your way from obeying God? If it's because you're not taught, give us the opportunity to teach you. But more times than not, what keeps individuals from obeying the gospel is not because they don't know, but because they are like the rich man of whom we read. They have great possessions. So friend, if you're with us tonight, there is a cure for the sin called materialism. There is a way that you can come out of materialism. If you're not a child of God, leave your pride, leave your passions for this world, and come to the true and living God who offers eternal life. Having heard the gospel, believe it with all your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess that Jesus is the Son of God. Confess that you are going to make Him the King of kings and the Lord of lords. You're going to make Him the Lord of your life. And be buried with Him in baptism, even as He has commanded us. Be baptized for the remission of sins so that you can be added to His church of which He is the Savior, Ephesians 5:23. And friend, if you are a child of God and you have been materialistic, perhaps because of materialism, because of an interest in a greater interest in material things, you haven't been giving to God as God hath prospered you. Perhaps because of materialism, you have refused to grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Perhaps because of materialism, you have not been going to a lost and dying world. Friends, of that you need to repent. And you have that pardon, that second law of pardon with the Almighty God, 1 John chapter 1, who has told us that if we are willing to confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us. Friends, you're going to have to leave your pride behind to make that confession, to repent of that sin, and we are willing to pray for you, to pray with you. So friend, whatever your need, we plead with you that you will come as together we stand and sing.